It's Darren Copeland. My God, what is he up to now?
Rhinoceros, my beasts are fat and the buds are on my back and I'm horny.
I'm horny.
If you choose to proceed, you will indeed concede.
You don't like this one?
I don't know what it is.
Rhyme or stampede.
Oh, this is a hip-hop
wild, I'm trained, domesticated. I was raised by a rapper and rider that dated and subsequently procreated.
I don't know what that is.
That's how a hip-hop-opotamus?
The hip-hop-opotamus, the hip-hop hip-hop.
They call me the hip-hop-opotamus. My lyrics are bottomless.
What is...
This is the.
What is happening?
Oh, no.
Flight of the Conchords.
Flight of the Conchords.
Oh.
This is a great song.
Hip hop anonymous.
Hip hop hippopotamus.
Hip hop versus Ryman Saracenus.
Ryman Rhinoceros.
Rhinoceros. Flight of the Conchords are great. I've never heard this from them.
My lyrics are bottomless.
You know, I've met them.
The Flight of the Conchords?
They were at Rock Bottom. We were finished with a show. A friend of ours that we both know, a guy named Mark Chauncey, and I were playing pool in the back room. This is when you could still smoke back there.
Yep.
And we were playing pool. I didn't recognize him, but we're playing pool, and Mark keeps looking at these guys playing pool at the table next to us. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Because you're being kind of rude.
Creepy. Yeah.
It was a little creepy. But I mean, he's not doing it subtly. He's literally just standing there with a stick in his hand, staring right at him, like
got a couple, like get close to their face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he comes over and he's, I think that's Flight of the Conchords. I'm like, come on, that's not. Oh my God, that's Flight of the Conchords. You know, like because I wasn't paying attention, I just wasn't noticing. And there were a lot of people. You know, it's a weekend night, but it was. So it was myself and Mark and a friend of ours, Meredith. We all kind of went up to them and were like. Well, because
are you guys Flight of the Conchords?
Well,
are you? Because you look like you kind of are.
Here's what's funny: Meredith and I were totally cool about it. Mark was like a 10-year-old boy just meeting his football hero for the first time. He's like, he didn't say a word. Like, I came up and I was like, "Hey, you guys are Flight of the Conchords, right?" And they're like, "Yeah, you know."
Keep it quiet.
Well, they weren't. They weren't like, yeah, we are, but they were kind of like, yeah, we are. You know, we're just here playing pool. We just did a gig, and we're like, oh, that's so awesome! Like, where are you guys playing? Whatever. And Meredith was right off the bat like, how much are your tickets? Could you get us a comp? Like right off the bat, and they were playing over at the Fillmore, and Mark is just standing there the whole time. It's just a huge grin on his face, staring at him.
Oh my God.
And he's already short, so he looked like a tiny little boy, just going, oh my God, is it? And all for like the next year and a half. That's all he would talk.
Have you ever had that happen to you? Have you ever done that? My mother would always, because my mother grew up, because my grandfather, though, was not famous, but was.
Your grandfather was famous.
He was well known.
And a lot of his friends were really famous.
Really famous. Like,
yeah.
He just had some really famous friends.
Really, really famous.
Really famous.
Yeah.
And so my mom grew up in this environment where, she was one of the few people who knew where the Beatles were staying in L.A. before they're ahead of their show, but she couldn't tell anybody.
Right.
You know, these type of things. So she's never been are you excited to see someone famous?
Yeah.
Where I can be. A little, I mean, not so much, but sometimes I can be like, wow, so I'm meeting someone famous.
Yeah, you know, but we worked in radio a long time ago when we first started our careers. And because of the nature of the work we were doing, we got to meet a lot of famous people.
Yes.
I think the only two times that I've been kind of speechless in meeting somebody was when I was at KBCO and literally the Rolling Stones rolled up in four separate black limo limousines. They were there doing a concert in Boulder and they stopped by KBCO to do an interview with Ginger and we're making our little cardboard derby vehicle out in the lobby of KBCO and four black limousines pull up and four different Rolling Stones walk out of each different and they just kind of walk in and they don't even pay attention to us. I think Mick Jagger might be like, oi. And then you just walk right through. And the last person to stumble through the doorway was Keith Richards, who seriously looked dead. Like, he looked waxy.
You know what? I really believe that zombies are real because of Keith Richards.
He could be a zombie. And the only other time would have been when we were both working at the Blowtorch, and I was doing producing a morning show, and I came out, and my office as it was, my cubicle was located in the green room for the interviews going to go on the big station. And I didn't pay attention to the guy sitting at the desk. He had his legs up on the chair or up on the desk and he was leaning back. And my back is turned to him. And all of a sudden, this voice booms out. How much longer before it's time for me to be interviewed? And it's like, oh my God, Moses is here. And I turn around and sure enough.
Is that you, God?
It was
me, Margaret.
It was Moses. It was Burt Lancaster.
No.
Whatever. You know who I'm talking about. Gregory Peck.
Steve
not
McQueen?
Not Gregory Peck. It was.
You damn dirty.
Yes. It was him. Robert.
Redford.
Robert Redford. No, not Robert Redford.
Jesus. Oh, no, you can't look. You have to
I am
guessing.
Looking. No, I can't.
Yes.
Listen, it's going to kill
me. Ben-Hur.
Yes, he was in Ben-Hur. He was, like, he's really famous. Not Paul Newman.
Jim Henson.
Not Jim Henson. Dagnabbit, you
Charleston
guys.
Charleston Heston.
Charlton Heston. God, that was like giving birth. And I didn't even do it. Like, someone had to tell me. Charlton Heston was sitting in the desk, and I didn't say a word because I'm like, wow, you are really tall, first of all.
Yes.
Most actors are not.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, wow, you're really tall. And he just had just confidence about him. This seemed, and he was nice as could be to everybody that was coming through. But that's the only time I've ever actually been
the
kind
one,
of.
The one I remember getting kind of freaked out about was, I was a kid, and this is not Vincent Price, because I was too young to really know.
Sure, he was just like, scary.
It was just scary, you know.
Because it was Vincent Price.
Because it was Vincent Price, and his voice is that's how he talks.
Yeah, I have no doubt.
So we were at a bar, in Burbank,
okay,
with my mom and my dad and me and my brother probably, and we were actually at Trader Vic's. Which is the Trader Vic's in Burbank is actually a pretty famous Trader Vic's, pretty famous bar.
Okay.
And so we're at a booth by the front door, and all of a sudden the door swings open and Jack Webb walks in.
Just the facts, ma'am.
Just the facts, ma'am. And looks at my mother and goes, Donna Copeland, it's so nice to meet you or see you again.
It was probably more like, Donna Copeland, so nice to meet you.
Just the facts, ma'am.
You look great.
And she's like, why, thank you, Jack. It's so good to see you, too. I was just like.
I mean, you grow up in that environment. It would
listen,
be.
Listen, I got a standing ovation in New York City in the Brady Bunch musical.
Yeah.
Because my grandfather wrote the song.
Right.
I didn't do anything.
But it's a good story, though.
I was born, not to him.
No, but I mean, the story you tell about being in New York, and they're like, hey, at halftime, anybody have any special Brady Bunch stories?
Well,
and
yeah, like, I got one.
Well, why don't you come on down and tell us what's your story, son?
Yeah, so actually what happened is at the beginning, before the show would start, they would have you fill out these forms. It was like, you know, what's your you have one true fact or one ridiculously
right.
terrible fact. And some of these other people, one person had like a $10,000 phone bill one month. I mean, unbelievable things.
Right.
And so I'm like putting, so I wrote, my grandfather was Frank Duvall. I don't even think he put, and so the next thing I know, the whole cast is around the table. And so like, okay, well, you mind if we put you, so they didn't even say anything. They're like, okay, well, the show's going to start, but do this, you know, we do this trivia show where this woman goes backstage and, you know, has to guess. And so, and I looked at my date and I'm just like, you realize that I'm going up on stage. And she's like, oh, I don't think so. I think that's good. And then all of a sudden, you know, can we bring up to the stage, Darren Copeland? What's your true fact? My grandfather wrote the music to the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, the whole place probably goes crazy.
Oh, my God.
Sure.
The whole place goes crazy. And I'm just like, I'm shaking my head. And I call my grandfather afterwards, and he's like, that's so very nice for you.
So I'm so happy for you. That's great.
Not even that. But the stuff that with my way, I mean, I have whole sorts of stories just about my grandfather that we could do that another time since we're getting it. But I mean, for instance, I remember going to, I was with my grandfather and we were going to the opening of Get Shorty.
Oh, yeah.
And we were waiting in line and all the people were my age. All of a sudden, they were all crowded around my grandfather because he remembered Happy Kind.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, my God.
I've got good stories. But when it comes down to it, like when you delve deep down into the stories, I don't have stories like that. I can't really compete with those stories.
I don't either. I mean, I have that one only because But it's not about me. It's about my grandfather. Like, he's the one that...
Yeah, but you experienced this stuff because of it.
You know what I experienced? I experienced three beautiful girls pushing me out of the way so they could get my grandfather's autograph. That's not a fun experience.
So you're saying three girls touched you at once?
Yeah, that's like...
That's a good story. That's a good story.
That's almost as good a story as when my wife became pregnant, there were three women in the room.
Go with that one, too. We'll be back tomorrow night on the Darren Copeland
Experience.
They
were all doctors.
Even better.
Darren Copeland, weeknights 8 to 10, only on Mile High Sports.
Proceed to party. No, I've seen you in blue and I've seen you in yellow, but only you red will do for this fellow.